Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Psalm, the 40th Psalm this evening. Psalm 40. And unlike this morning, we're not turning to any pages beside where we're at this evening. Psalm 40. And as I begin this evening, I've been asked that if anyone in here, if you happen to have a chair, like a dining room chair that has arms on it, and you happen to have a spare one or two, or three, if you can, armchair, yeah. If you have one of those, if you can let us know, because there's someone who would need one. And so if you happen to have one of those that you're willing to let someone else use, just let me know and we'll try to arrange to get that to the person who needs it. But Psalm 40 this evening, and my voice isn't as bad as this morning where it was at Brother Pete's level. I think it's raised a little bit since then. But Psalm 40. And this evening, I want us to look at the title here, Why Wait for the Lord? Why wait for the Lord? By way of introduction, in Psalm 40, many people do not like to wait. You think, duh, just go drive. Yes, there are some people who don't like to wait. There's certain times in which we just don't want to wait for something. Whatever it is, could be a light, could be in line, it could be whatever the case is, you name it. Sometimes we just don't like to wait. We tend to have this fast food mentality when it comes to certain things. When we go to fast food restaurants, what do we expect? The food to be right there. We get to the drive-through window and we get to the pickup line. You want that food as soon as you roll your window down. And then we get disappointed when it's not there. But the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. In this passage, it mentions it. It even gives an extra, adjective. It's more of a description of waiting. It kind of gives us a double wait, in a sense, this evening. And I want us to look at what the Psalm says about waiting on the Lord and see why we should wait for the Lord. Psalm 40, verse number 1. The Bible says these words. This is David writing, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Submit to you this evening, God will answer us. God will answer. God will do his work when we are patient. Now, can God do something quickly? Absolutely. But I think when we wait, I think he's more bound to give it to us even better than what we anticipated. Father, we come to your prayer. We thank you for Dave giving to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. We pray that as we are in this service this evening that we can look into your word, that we can grow thereby, we can understand, and that you just clear our minds of the things that are going on, distractions that might hinder us from being able to hear your word this evening. Help me as I preach. Help it to be clear. Help it to be easy to be understood. Help it not to be hindered. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a quick second. I'm going to readjust where this is at. There we go. So, waiting on the Lord. It mentions it all over the place in the Bible. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Psalm 27 talks about wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that talks about waiting. And it is a good thing to wait. You think, you don't know what I'm going through. I need it right now. No. You might need it now, but God will want it in his time. Now, we look at the clock. It's 6:29. And so we anticipate, or you anticipate, that I'll be done by 6:50. We'll be done. We'll pray. we'll finish the service, and you'll be out by 7 o'clock. Now, we did start 10 minutes late, so I do have till 7 o'clock and then 10 minutes after that. But I'm sure we'll be done way before that. But people wait for things all the time. You wait for that game to come on if you're a sports fan. You wait for that certain event to take place, a wedding to take place, or whatever it is to take place. You have to wait in line as much as it's hard to do, especially when the person in front of you is taking that grocery and slowly taking it out of the cart and putting it onto the conveyor belt nice and slow, and then pats the item and then goes in and takes. I've seen this before. I worked at a grocery store for 18 years. And the next thing comes out. Oh, and then it fell down. And then there's a spill. And I bet you've been behind one of those people before. You think, come on, get it up, pick it up. But the Bible tells us to wait. And let's look at that. Why are there some reasons to wait in verses 1 through 3? The Bible says this. Verse 1, I waited patiently. Notice the words that are there. David says, I waited. I held on. I waited. I was waiting, and I was doing it patiently. They kind of go together. Waited patiently for the Lord. We're bound to him. We expect that he will answer them. How is that? And he inclined unto me. He bent, he stretched, he listened, he wanted to hear what we were saying. Again, God's a God who can hear anybody at any time. I mean, everybody prays to him. I hope everybody prays to him every day. And if there's at least, let's say, round numbers, 2 billion people in the world who are Christians, high or low, depending on what it is. If God can hear all of them and answer their prayers, he can answer ours too. But the thing is that a lot of times we have this hurry mentality. How so? Well, sometimes, and okay, this is my age speaking here, but sometimes you want to hurry up and get married. You just want to hurry up, find that person you want, and then just get married to that person, and that's it. But the thing is that we're told to wait. Wait for the right one. Dr. Zacharias mentioned a story about that on Friday night, where someone just went too impatiently and it ruined their life. One person said in the realm of dating, it's better to wait and date than to not wait and blow it. And there's some true words in that. You want to make sure those who are not married and you feel God's led you to be getting married, that you wait for the right one. Don't just take the first person you see and say, ooh, look at them. One of the things is looking out for godly counsel. If other people on the outside see that the thing is going well, then pretty good sign maybe that God's saying, yeah, this could be the one. But if the people outside of you, why? Because you're so wrapped up in your emotions that you have no idea the signs that could be wrong. But someone on the outside, they're not attached to that. When Nicole and I started dating, I didn't notice until the wedding when you told me this. I didn't know that he had this thought. But he had looked out one day in the parking lot. Whoever was standing with him, if you're in the auditorium tonight, it was you. Okay. It was you. Yeah. Yeah, he looks out, and he saw Nicole and I was at her car back when she parked over there on that side, about the third or fourth spot over there. She'd pull in pretty quickly sometimes just because she was always getting into church just on time. But I would go over there and walk into the car and all that, you know, that nice gentlemanly thing to do. And I found out the wedding, and he may have told me up here, I'm not sure, and I just forgot about it. But he said, I'm going to pray for them. That could be something good. And when you have validation like that, and now those of you who know me, those of you who've been here a while, you know that there has been a desire for me to want to find somebody. But it took 13 years after college to do so. Johnson said his knees hurt so bad because of it. And I wish I recorded that the day that he gave that toast at the wedding vow, so I can remind myself of how much I hurt his knees over that. Those knees were hurting. All I remember from that was the knees. But you know what? It was good to wait. Now we've been married 16 months with many, many more years to come and have that nice little squealy kid that you probably hear in the nursery right now. You know, that little booger there. It's good to wait. It's good to wait. He says he waited patiently, verse 1, for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He heard me. You know God can hear you. I'm sure I'm talking to the choir tonight. But know that God hears you. He can hear what you're saying. He knows what you're going through. I mean, if he can count the number of hairs on your head, he knows your problems and all the other problems that are going on. But what does he do? Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He rescued me from the dreads. Horrible, this destruction, this uproar, the miry, the dreads, or the muddy. Takes you out of the sticky spots and puts you on a new ground and reestablishes you again. He can pull you up out of the mire and set you new again. But there's times where you have to wait. Verse 3, it hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. God gives us joy. People will see him and they will trust him. You wait. God will bless. I think of God this way in a sense in relation to prayer. And this could be a bad illustration, but it's mine and I'm going to preach it anyway. It could be like a sit-down restaurant where you sit down and you order your food. Now, I've had different experiences. Now this is my personal view, but when I've been to more expensive restaurants, I tend to wait a lot longer for my food than if I go to this inexpensive restaurant. That's just my personal thing. I remember one time, I got impatient one time. Yeah, it happens. Anyway, but I was at this restaurant, and I think we ordered, and it took probably an hour and a half to get our food. Now, you think to yourself, I'm leaving. I was tempted to leave. The struggle was real. I was hungry. And the worst part about it is the food was not good. I'm thinking to myself, I waited here an hour and a half at this pretty upper scale restaurant that someone donated money to, so that way we can go there. And here I am waiting an hour and a half and this food comes out. We were there for 2.5 hours. I'm thinking to myself, I could play golf in 2.5 hours and have more fun than waiting in a meal. But the thing is that when we wait, when we allow God to take the time that he feels is necessary, which God's timing is always perfect, he's going to bring us up out of that horrible pit. Out of that miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, establish my goings, putting a new song in our mouths, and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's what God's going to do for us. What else happens if we wait for him? Verses 4 through 9 talk about being blessed from him. Verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You want to be happy in life? People always say, I want to find that. I'm searching for happiness. Well, let's look at verse number 4. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man that what? Maketh the Lord his trust. You want to be happy? Verse says it. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Trust in him. You'll be happy. But I don't see him. Do you see the wind? Yes and no, you feel the effects of the wind, but you've never seen the wind. You feel the effects of an earthquake, but have you actually seen the earthquake? Okay? You may not see God, but you know He's there. Verse number 4 continues, and respecteth not the proud. He doesn't turn to the proud people, nor such as turn aside to lies. He doesn't go and lie and do all these terrible things. Verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us were, that they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Many things I could think of about you, God. I can't even number the amount of the good things you've done for my life. If I were to declare and speak unto them, they are more than can be numbered. Think of the blessings that God's given you. One of them is something we're all using right now. Breath. You breathe. That's a blessing. Hopefully it's not your last breath. But we breathe. That's a blessing. Every breath we take is a blessing. Your health. If your health is in good shape, that's a blessing. Many things, little things that we can count on can be a blessing to us. You may be going through a health issue. You may be going through a physical struggle. You may be going through a financial issue, but you're alive. You're still living. God's still giving you your life. There's many things we can bless the Lord for. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering didst thou not desire. He didn't require some special means to worship Him, He's saying. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. He hasn't required any type of forgiveness or anything. He just wants to hear from you. He wants you to wait for Him. He wants to bless you if you allow Him to do so. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Aid, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. I would underline that phrase. You want to be happy? People, I guess, as we mentioned earlier, you want to find happiness in life? Well, what's 8 say? I delight to do thy will. You do God's will. You're in the center of God's will. You're going to be happy. Now, a lot of people may fear that. Why is that? Because they may not be the thing that they want. It may not be the thing that they thought it was going to be. But you're in the center of God's will. You can delight in that. You can be blessed. Verse number 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. David's saying here, I have shown people that I'm living for you. I'm not hiding anything. I am trying to magnify your name as much as I can. 11, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Allow your loving kindness to continue to lift me up, to continue to keep me going, is what he's talking about here. Why is that? 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. David had some issues going on around him. And later of his life, because of his sin, he had family civil war. He had a lot of issues in the second half of his life because of the choice he made to sin. Why? Because David didn't. Well, first, he was supposed to be on the battlefield. He didn't wait. If you really think about it, he should have just not even been home and looking at the rooftop and seeing Bathsheba doing what she was doing. David didn't seek the Lord at that point, and it ruined the second part of his life. It says in verse 12 again, for innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Sin had taken over. Therefore, my heart faileth thee. We sin a lot. Don't let it overtake you to the point where, as we talked about this morning, where it ruins your fellowship with the Lord. 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. He says, come help me. Why? Because these innumerable evils are coming upon me. Verse 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Saying there, let them be ashamed. Let them be confounded. Those who try to come after me and destroy me, drive them back. Push them away. Put shame to them. Cause them to feel shameful for the fact that they're trying to do me in. 15, let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. I'm going to make sure I don't say that, otherwise there'll be shame. But he's saying there in verse 15, let them be desolate, let them be stunned, stupefy those who laugh at me. Say in verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. So now he brings it back to God, brings back the focus to the Lord again. Let all those that seek thee rejoice. You seek God, rejoice and be glad in thee and God. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. What should we do? Magnify the Lord. There's a song written, oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name. And then the verse continues on, which I can't recall right now. But then the chorus says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and bless his holy name. Ron Hamilton wrote that. What's he saying? Give God, lift him up, magnify him, make him known. When we wait upon the Lord, we can make God known. Last verse, and we're going to be finished this evening. 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Do you know God thinks about you? You know God cares about you? Doesn't matter what status you are, he still thinks about you. Then he finishes off with these last two phrases. Thou art my help and my deliverer. God, you're my help. You're the one who can deliver me out of this issue. He delivered him out of miry clay, set his feet upon the rock, established my goings, puts a new song in his heart because he prayed to the Lord. He waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Because then he says, thou art my help, verse 17, and my deliverer. Then he finishes off with one last phrase. Make no tarrying, O my God. He says, don't wait. Please don't wait. Don't wait too long. So what do we see here tonight? God can help me. God can help us. We should wait for the Lord. There are more benefits for waiting instead of trying to do it your own way. God helps us, but we should wait for his perfect timing. What does that mean for you and me this evening? Pretty simple. Wait. I don't like to wait. Well, what does the Bible say? Wait. Have patience. Wait patiently for the Lord, and he will hear you. He knows what he wants to do. He knows how he wants to use you and bless you. But we have to wait. But I don't like to wait. I don't like to think that's going to take forever for it to happen. What does the Bible say? Wait. But I don't know how I'm going to be able to get this problem solved. Wait. I don't know how this bill is going to be met. Wait. I don't know how long it's going to take for me to get married. Wait. I don't know. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard me, inclined his ear. He listened in and heard my cry. We should wait. Are we waiting this evening? Father, I pray and ask as we move into the invitation time of this service, I pray that you would just help us this evening as we look and as we examine ourselves. Father, I'm pretty certain that the majority, if not all the people in here, are people who have asked you to be their Savior. So I pray tonight as the invitation is given that you would just help us, if we're not waiting on you for a certain thing that's in our life, that we would pray and ask for us to build our patience, to add to our patience, and that we can wait for you and wait for your timing and the things that need to be done. Father, I pray that you would just bless the move in this invitation time, move in our hearts, help us where we're struggling. I pray that you would just help us to mold us into that masterpiece that you want us, because, Lord, we need you. Bless the move in this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.